when we begin, hopefully we'll begin this spring, to build a new building, we can start with greater capital. This is a commitment envelope, or envelope and a commitment card. Listen, I don't want you to write anything on this today. What I want you to do is to take it home and you pray about it. Listen, I don't want you to make an emotional decision of what you would commit monthly or yearly to the new building. I don't want you to make a good decision on what. I want you to make a God decision. I want you to make a God decision on you seeking the Lord. The Lord, what would you have us do? Couples and individuals. What would you have us do with a new building? Some of you may look around and say, well, we need a new building. Well, this is the 8 o'clock service. This is the 10 o'clock service coming up behind. We can't put everybody in the same building. We can't put everybody in the fellowship hall. We can't park everyone out. We're borrowing parking lots now across the street and down the street. People are parking everywhere. And that's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful problem to have, but it's still a problem. And what we've done is we've maxed out our growth. So we have to do something to change that. And the Lord has placed it in our hearts years ago. We bought the property. Now we're in a building phase. The building, the blueprints in the fellowship hall, if you want to go look at them, they're there. I'm asking you to commit. Pray about it. Take 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, we'll come back to these cards with you and your wife have prayed about, with you, what you have sought the Lord on, and this is what we will commit. Monthly or yearly, Brother Jeff, this is what we want. Seeking God. Today we talk about prayer that shakes our soul and adoring God. In our prayer life, there are many things. We usually think about prayer going to God asking for a big list of stuff. And listen, it's okay to ask God for things, but that should be just a part, and sometimes a smaller part of what we do in prayer. That prayer, that communion time, that time that we communicate with God, that we adore Him, that we exalt Him. Yes, we do intercede for others who need prayer. Yes, there's so many things that can be involved in our prayer life, just as Jesus taught us, that we saw 2 weeks ago with the Lord's Prayer. Today we focus on adoration, just adoring God for who He is. Get away from the wants and the needs that we have in our life, and just say, God, I want to spend time with you. Everybody, turn to Psalm 63. Adoring God. Ian Bounds said, prayer honors God, acknowledges His being, exalts His power, adores His providence, and secures His aid. Prayer. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Listen, prayer is really when we partner with God. We're partnering with God to seek God's will for our life, our world, our family, seeking God's will. Because we know enough of our will, and boy, we've tried it so many times, and it's fallen through on us. What about if we sought God's will? Worship. When we worship in our prayer life, have you ever just taken those times when you just exalted God? You know, maybe nobody else is around, and you're just there driving in the car. Man, you just say, God, thank you. God, thank you for my family. God, thank you for listen, that situation that happened at work, and God, I got a little frustrated about, but God, thank you for growing me through it. I mean, just going down the road, exalting God for who He is, and how, you know, all the things that He's intermingled in your life. Today we read about King David. When he was out in the wilderness and out in the desert by himself, why? Because his son Absalom was out to kill him. Thinking, you're having a bad day, huh? His son was out to kill him. So he runs out to a deserted place in the wilderness to escape the ones who were seeking him. And this is where he writes this psalm. We begin reading Psalm 63, verse 1. It says, "You, God, or my God, earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. I will be fully sanctified as the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night, because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. Those who want to kill me will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God will glory in him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced." Let's pray together. Father God, today we can all identify with those desert places in our own life. God, those times where things were pretty dry. When things just weren't going our way, when people have turned their back on us, when, Lord, things have happened in our life that we don't understand. Father, we can all identify with that wilderness. Oh, Father, teach us how to praise you, as David did in the good times and in the not so good times. Lord, when we're standing on the mountaintop, when we're in the valley, we're also in the wilderness. Teach us today how to praise you. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So King David wrote this psalm of praise and adoration while he was on the run. Most of us, when we're on the run, we're not really looking to praise God. We're just looking to run. We're looking for something that the some self-protection here. But you see, in this time, David teaches us that we are to pray, that we are to exalt God, we are to lift up God. And David was not giving God a wish list of all the things he wanted God to do. Notice that he just praised and praised and praised God and praised him over again, because he knew that God had his back and his front and his sides, that God was coming to his rescue, that God would fulfill in his life the things that he needed to get done. Sometimes we sit back and we worry, we lay on our bed, we can't sleep because our minds won't shut down. That happens to the preacher too. We worry about so many things. God's just saying, "Hey, I've got it. It's okay. You're going to be all right. Just there's a few things I want to see from David's psalm here today of adoration, about the wealth of passion that he had for God. And man, if that could just flow over into us. So the first nugget of spiritual gold we have today is that soul-shaping prayer reflects an insatiable desire for God. This type of prayer that we just exalt God, that really just shapes our soul for a person who wants to praise God, to be an example to those around who, while we're walking through the darkest valleys in our life, that we're still exalting Him. First thing we see is there's an insatiable desire for God. David's passion for God becomes obvious through this psalm. He vocalizes his internal feelings and he reveals his deepest longings for his Savior. We see in verse 1, he says, "Oh God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you." My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. David was less concerned about getting a drink of water and more concerned about pouring out to God. Notice how David reveals his deepest feelings that motivated him to follow God. Verse 1, he says, I earnestly search for you. David counted everything lost to pursue God. Everything lost to pursue God. Christian, can you say that this morning? That everything else in you, if you lost everything in your life, would you still pursue God? No, see, most of us want to, we base our blessings, you know, as God's favor on us. Well, that could be true to some degree, but listen, if you lost it all, you see, when we pass from this life into the next, we lose it all. We don't take any of it with us. The only thing we take with us is our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's it. We don't have that. We've lost everything. Jesus can be here today. I search for you. David counted everything lost. The second thing he says, my soul thirsts for you. See, David's soul surpassed the thirst that he was feeling in this desert place in which he had run from his enemies. There was no greater emptiness than to feel this distance from God. Listen, the loneliness is unbearable. When David was in this desert place, he was crying out to God because he was there not only physically alone, but he didn't want God to be distant from him. The greatest torture of hell will be the separation from God, his love, his goodness, his grace. Greatest loneliness, the greatest torture is to know that you can never turn to God. David had this sense of desperate loneliness. He thirsted for God. Just like a person cannot live without water, he too, David, is saying, listen, I cannot live without you, God. I thirst for you. Oh, today, Christian, if we would just thirst for God a little bit, thirst for him when we pray, not just volley up a few words, but sincerely seek God. Just like we were thirsty. God, if I don't spend time with you, Lord, I'll die in this loneliness. John 7, verse 37 through 39. He says, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from him. By this he meant the Spirit. Are you like David today? Do you feel like you are in a dry place in life? This desert place, David longed for God and pursued him. Your desert place will have flowing rains of the of God's Spirit when you release your worries and pursue God. Oh, can we just release our worries? It's mentioned things in the last few years that Anita and I just stressed over for months. Sleepless nights, getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning. I just can't sleep. I'm sitting there watching TV at 3 o'clock in the morning. And you can almost hear God say, hello. And I know some of you have done the same. Maybe not recently, but over the time. You wake up just worrying and stressing, and can you finally say, Lord, I just need you. I just need you. Put me to sleep, Lord, because I trust you. David reminisced so much. See, the second nugget of spiritual gold we see from verses 2 through 5 says, the soul-shaping prayer reflects an imperative declaration of personal will. David has this declaration of his will being meshed in God's will. We see in verse 2, it says, I've seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. David is laying there reminiscing when he saw the Lord in his power and his glory. And he says, listen, Lord, I believe, I see. I remember seeing your power. I remember seeing the things that you've done, the miracles. See, David was the king who stood as a little boy in front of the giant, in front of Goliath, with just an old slingshot and a few stones. I wouldn't recommend you go deer hunting like that, but try it if you want to. David stood before this 9.5 feet giant, Goliath, and won the victory over him. David defeated a lion, defeated a bear when he was a shepherd boy. On and on the stories. David saw the miracles of God. He saw the power of God. He knew that was not him. He was a little boy. And God delivered him. David had firsthand accounting of the power and glory of God. He fondly remembers those times and his experiences. David had submerged himself in God's love. Verse 3 says, because your love is better than life. David comments over in another psalm, Psalm 52, verse 18. He says, I trust God's unfailing love forever and ever. You see, David meshed his will in God's will because he knew God's tremendous love. God had already proven himself to him. And matter of fact, why does God have to prove himself to us anyway? Why does God, who created the universe, who created you, created me, gave us these things and this thing, and why does he have to prove anything to us? But it's amazing how much he loves us. He proved his great love for us when he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sins and mine. We didn't deserve it. He did it on his own because he loved us first, hoping, praying, reaching out to us, calling us to love him too. This declaration of trust by David is expanded in the next few verses where he names specific ways that he intentionally submits his will to God. See, in verse 3, he says, I will glorify you. Verse 4 says, I will praise you. And the latter part of verse 4 says, I lift up my hands to you. That's a sign of surrender. Verse 5 says, my soul will be satisfied in you, Lord. Latter part of verse 5 says, with singing lips, my mouth will praise you. Oh, can you see how David has immersed himself and declared his will and to be into God's will? Question comes to us, how do you show that you admire God? And what do you admire about him? See, praying adoration to God, we're talking about worship in our prayer. We're talking about adoring God for who he is. Just adoring God. Well, I don't know much about him, Brother Kevin. Listen, God's word tells us much about him. God's word tells us everything that he wants us to know about him. Everything he wants us to know. Does it have everything that we want to know? No. But God tells us everything that he wants us to know. Listen to Psalm 145. Listen to the words here. God, you're good. You have mighty acts and majesty and wonderful, and you have awesome works and great deeds and abundant goodness. Some of the qualities. Listen to what David mentions in these qualities. You're righteous. You're gracious. You're compassionate. You're slow to anger. You're rich in love. You're good to all. Glory and might. Glorious splendor, unending dominion, faithful and loving, upholds and lifts and provider. The Lord is near. He satisfies. He fulfills our desires. Oh, and He saves. Listen to David recognized some things about God. When is the last time that you prayed and just adored God? Listen, using the very vocabulary that he gave to you. You don't have to know all the big righteous words. You know what righteousness really means in right standing with God? Okay, let's be simple about it. You don't have to know theology. You just use the words that God gave you. God created you uniquely for you to commune with Him. He didn't make anyone else in the world just like you. He wanted you. You are special and you are unique. He wants to commune. He wants to communicate with you. Oh, He longs for your attention. He longs for you to be to spend that time in prayer with Him. Adore Him. See, when we pray, adore the qualities of God. Commit your will to exalt His name. Tell God of His awesome presence. Tell Him how much He means to you in your life. Even with great loss, we can still praise God. Even when we're going through the darkest valley, we can still praise God. Oh, we can still praise God. We get up in the morning, our heart's still beating. Brother Cammy always said, I see the roses and not the roots. It's a day to exalt God. Notice something in this treacherous place that David resided. During all this fear and all this uncertainty of his present and future situation, David did not magnify his problems. His son's out to kill him. He's in the desert. And he didn't complain about it all. He didn't say, well, Lord, I wish I had a better place to sleep. You know, that old rock's getting pretty hard on my head there. No. Listen, David didn't magnify his problem. He magnified God, and he affirmed his commitment to pursue God. David honored God with submitting his will to God. Why? Because David knew that ultimately God's will would come to pass in his life. God had great things in store for him. When we get our eyes off our problems, then we can begin to praise. But as long as we're looking around at all our problems, and that's all we're beginning to see, we won't be happy. Happiness is always based on the happenings around us. Joy comes from inside. See, God wants us to rejoice. That joy comes from our soul, regardless of what is happening on the outside. And when we're joyful because of what God is doing, listen, our face will show it, our life will show it, our praise will show it, because we're not looking at the problems. We're looking at the problem solver. We're looking at the one and believing and trusting the one who can take all these things and put them in perspective for us. Prayer is fulfilled when we submit our will to God's will. We mesh our will to God's will. Our requests will decrease and our praises will increase. C.S. Lewis wrote this. He says, in worship, God imparts Himself to us. And listen, that can be private worship in our own. I have people that tell me, Brother Kevin, you know, I'd like to go to church, but you know, it's hunting season. I want to go to the duck blind. You know, I can worship God in that duck blind. Yeah, but you won't. You won't. You're there duck hunting. Your purpose for there is not to worship God. Your purpose for there is to kill a duck. So your attention is on the skies, on the snack that you brought. You see, in worship, our attention needs to be on God. Our attention needs to be on God. That's praise. Why? Why should our attention be on God? Because He imparts Himself to us. He communes with us. He unites with us. That's why it's real important that we are focused even when we come to church. that we're not worried about all the things going on around us, or we'll miss out with God. God is spirit. He desires to be worshipped in truth and spirit. When we pray, do we seek more of God, or do we seek more of God's blessings? See, when we pray in adoring faith to God, we seek more of God. Realize the blessings of God will pass away. However, God does not pass. He's eternal. Think about your prayer life. We go seeking God for more blessings. And they have a place in our prayer life. But would we just pray adoring God? Because see, all the blessings of God will pass away. The only one that won't is your salvation. Every person that Jesus ever healed, think about this, every person that Jesus ever healed eventually died. So Jesus did miracles, and people were healed, and their sight was restored, and they could walk, and the demons were scattered from their lives. But a few years later, they did die. You see, it's not that blessings of God doesn't matter, but they pale in comparison to God. Pale in comparison. And we're so much more worried about God's blessings so we can have more and fulfill this insatiable desire for more stuff. And God's saying, I'm not enough. God is all we need. The third nugget of spiritual gold is this. Soul-shaping prayer reflects our inspired devotion to God. David's devotion to God is noted by his meditation on God. Verse 6 is, I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. I remember you. I think of you. You are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. Verse 8 says, my soul clings to you. David spent quiet time with God. See, this insatiable desire for God that David had to declare through the submission of his will and to honor God's attributes and mighty works. David went on further. He meditated on the greatness and the goodness of God. On his bed, the cares of the world seemed to disappear. Listen, so many times on my bed, the cares of the world seemed to crowd out sleep. Being honest and transparent with you. So I know it on yours too, as I read it on Facebook the next day. I ain't slept since 3 o'clock this morning. David had these thoughts and ponderings of God. I can only imagine this the endless concepts and conclusions that David rendered to his Creator and his Savior, his friend. A thought of one of the great attributes of God lingers in his mind, and he meditates on it, and he looks toward that, and in his mind it gets on the things of God for hours at a time. He meditates and falls asleep thinking of his Savior. Listen, soul-shaping prayer is manifest through God-inspired devotion. When we quiet our souls and let the Holy Spirit bring to mind and might and glory of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Quiet devotion, meditating on our Lord. Meditating on Him. Verse 8 says, my soul clings to you. Unwind the busyness of your day and meditate on God. Use His Word to identify His attributes. Listen, instead of worrying about all those things going through our mind won't shut off. Can we just meditate on God? Even if we have to get up, we're not cutting the TV on, we're not cutting Facebook on, we're not cutting whatever other app you have, just, Lord, help me tonight. Lord, I exalt you. Lord, I meditate on your goodness tonight. And you just begin, God, you're so gracious to us. Why is God gracious to us? Lord, you're gracious to me because, Lord, you know every sin in my life. You know every dark place. You know everything about, and you love me anyway. And Jesus died for me anyway to save and take that sting and that ugliness away from me. Oh, Lord, I thank you for your love. Your unfailing, immeasurable, unconditional love. That's meditating on God. The fourth nugget, and I'm closing, is this. A soul-shaping prayer reflects an intensive deliverance from the enemy. You see, when we realize how ugly the sin is in our life, we begin to realize how wonderful God is to us. David knows that his heavenly Father will bring deliverance. His language declares what God will do in his situation. David provided his personal declaration of his will, and now he notes God's part in partnership of praise and prayer. David is not commanding God to do anything. He is simply giving God the glory for what he will do. Verse 8, the latter part of it says, "Your right hand upholds me. They who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down," verse 10 says, "will be given over to the sword." David already declares what God's going to do. David's not foreseeing into the future. He just knows God. The need in David's life for deliverance was that his prayer was not his prayer of praise. He magnified God. He knew that his deliverance would come, but even if it didn't, he had God who was the deliverer. I don't know what you're praying for in your life. Even if it doesn't happen the way that you want it to, trust God for it to happen the way that he wants it to. You see, when we line up our will with his, it's amazing how the enemy loses all of his power in our life. You want true deliverance? Don't line up with all the things you want. Line up with the things that God wants for you. And Satan loses. The only way Satan has any power in our life, the Bible tells us that sin comes from those desires that we have inside. Satan doesn't make us sin. He just brings out the temptation. He just dances it in front of us. Why? Because we said it to somebody. We mentioned it to somebody. He heard it, so he just went and got what we wanted. But he'll lose power. We quit chasing after what we want and start chasing after what God wants. Verse 8 says, "Your right hand upholds me." So David didn't base his praise on how good things were going. He simply praised God for being God. And God, who loves him, will act in his behalf. David recognized that those who sought to kill him and destroy his reputation with lies would be destroyed. Verse 11 says, "The mouths of the liars will be silent." I can testify to that firsthand. And you can too, somewhere in your life. You can testify that people have run their mouth about you and God shut them down. Not your way, but his way. Christians today, listen, don't seek revenge or harm to those who talk bad about you. Their judgment is quickly approaching. Listen, when you get sidetracked by all these evil traps, you lose sight of your true purpose. Your true purpose is this, is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. The impact of your desire, your declaration, your devotion is that God is honored and he acts in your behalf, causing personal revival to ignite. Verse 11 says, "The king will rejoice in God. All will praise him." Listen, when we praise God, it's amazing how that becomes a revival in our life. A spiritual revival. We don't need a hotshot preacher to tell us all that. A spiritual revival because we are adoring God. And we're adoring God. And it just flows out of us. And the revival that's ignited in us ignites in other people because the Holy Spirit is moving strongly. Listen, prayer will shape your soul. That's a prayer that exalts God and expounds on His greatness. Those prayers, prayers of adoration and worship, should reflect your desire for God, your declaration of your will to Him, your devotion, and your deliverance from all troubles. What impact does it have in our life? That we even praise Him more, and that we truly enjoy Him forever. What is your prayer life like? Are you praying just seeking God for stuff, or are you praying adoring God? Are you praying just say, God, You know already all these troubles around it, and God, I'm stressed out about it, I'm worried about it, but Lord, today, tonight, I just give them over to You. Here they are, Lord. Let me identify them for You. And listen, you just tell God, this problem, Lord, please take it from me, because I just want to worship You. Maybe God is dealing with you in another way. That little green card you get in your bulletin when you walk through the front doors and those nice folks greeted you. Maybe there's something that you need to pray about. Maybe there's a decision you need to make. Maybe some of you have been coming to church here for a while and you've never joined our church. You've never become an official member of our church. Maybe that's, you've been praying about that, thinking about that, and you just never made that step. This is an opportunity. It's called Next Step. It's on the back. And what you do with these green cards is you put your name, your phone number, address. I'm not going to show up at your house tomorrow for biscuits and gravy. I'm not going to do that. But during the week, Miss Amy will call you. We'll send you a letter. You'll set up a time. You sit down and talk with me. We'll come in. We'll just sit with Scripture. You just tell me what your decision is. If you want to join our church by letter, you want to join our church, you want salvation. The Lord has been talking to you about giving your life to Christ and being baptized. The Lord is really talking about you, about coming by a statement of faith. This is what we do. We just talk about it. And whatever God leads in your heart, we're going to pray about it. We'll bring you in. You truly become a family member here. Look, whatever God is dealing with you, this is your communication card with me. There's a lot of people in this church. But boy, you can have some time just to sit down with Pastor Brian or Pastor Kevin. Just have God open some doors for you to see what's going on in your life. That's what we want for you. If you're having some issues in your prayer life, we want to pray. Listen, and don't forget, as you're praying, talk to God about this, about your commitment to Him for this new building. Why? Because it is a God-sized vision for not only Ville Platte, but for Evangeline Parish. Let's pray together. Father God, today, thank You for teaching us about prayer. Thank You for teaching us, Lord, that it's not all about us. And so many times, Lord, we just pray and we just give You a big wish list or want list, our worry list. And Lord, You want to hear those things from us. But Lord, You want to hear so much about how much we love You. If all we did was give You the concerns and the troubles in our life, our relationship begins to hurt. And Father, we want a strong relationship with You, a transparent relationship. Teach us today how to pray, just adoring You, exalting You. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand together this morning.
Why don't you sing with me as we dismiss this morning.